This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We are going to do something out of the ordinary to get going, a midweek chat, a rare midweek chat with Catherine Rampell of The Washington Post, also David Gura from Bloomberg, about what happens now. That will be, by the way, the theme of the broadcast today. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Kai.
Hey, Kai.
So, Catherine, let me start with you. You know, there was so much in Donald Trump's campaign, so very, very much, right? And let me just stipulate at the beginning that there was a lot of it that was racist and misogynist, but the people who, it seems to me, voted for Trump were voting on his economic promise, right? He made a lot of economic promises. The question is, can he deliver on that economy?
I fear not. He has made a lot of very fantastical promises that he is just simply unable to keep, many of which seem, frankly, cruel to me, about bringing back jobs in the coal industry, which have been displaced by innovation, productivity, fracking, amongst other things, bringing back jobs in manufacturing, many of which have been displaced by automation, amongst other forces. A lot of these particular types of promises, they're easy to make. They've raised hopes. I don't think they'll be borne out. And then on plenty of other policies as well, you know, if he is successful, it's not clear that it will be good for the economy. For example, increasing tariffs, placing huge tariffs on imports from Mexico and China. These seem very likely to create a trade war, to cause a recession here and abroad, and lead to millions of job losses.
So even if he's successful, he's not successful. Right. So, David, do we get a wink and a nod toward those promises and then the old hands in Washington prevail, granted that those are now going to be Republican hands on the levers of power?
Yeah, that's a big question. I mean, I think what Catherine's getting at is the burden of expectations here on Donald Trump is huge. You look at the states he was able to win last night. She talked about coal mining, Pennsylvania, Ohio, manufacturing, Michigan, Wisconsin. These are voters who heard something in what he was saying. I think that he's going to try to deliver something to them just because he has to do that. As for what happens in Washington, you look back at sort of before the election, all that we heard about who might be doing what in a Hillary Clinton administration. We didn't hear that about a Donald Trump administration. There are a few names being floated for a Treasury secretary, but that's about it. So you look at the work that this transition team has to do here in a couple of months. It's a huge undertaking, and we'll have to see how much new blood he's able to bring into Washington, how much, as you say, he's going to have to rely on people who know the city and know how things work there.
So, Catherine, when you look at what pass for policy proposals on his website, right, which are, we should be upfront about this, they're not policy proposals. They're very brief outlines of what he intends to do. When you look at that, and I say to you the word uncertainty and this economy, what's your response?
I foresee a lot of volatility going forward because there's so much uncertainty about what he will do, what his actual policies are, what the details are. And he has laid out some details. I don't want to give him too short of shrift. He has laid out some details, like on tax policy, but there are some big holes in them as well. And, you know, there are a lot of other sources of uncertainty beyond what we traditionally consider economic policy, including geopolitical risks. Those play out both, you know, in terms of our military and diplomatic capacities, but also in the global economy. And given that we don't exactly understand what his philosophy is on, from a foreign policy standpoint, and how well he would handle confrontations or negotiations with other countries, despite the fact that he calls himself a great negotiator, all of that lends itself to much greater uncertainty, much greater volatility within markets and between countries.
David, quickly-ish, this idea of uncertainty. I mean, we saw it in the markets last night. The futures crashed, and then, holy cow, we're up toward record highs on the Dow.
This was a record for me. I was on air for the Asian Open, the European Open, and the U.S. Open.
Show up. It was startling.
I humble brag there. Startling to see that decline in futures when they went down about 700 points. The Dow futures went down 700 points. It was startling here. I think a big question is, how is he going to work with this Republican Congress? He's got the House and the Senate, but his relationship with the House Speaker, Paul Ryan, has been tenuous, to say the least, and it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
David Bloomberg from David Gura, rather, from Bloomberg Television. You saw him on the air pretty much all night last night. And Catherine Rampell from The Washington Post. Thanks, you two.
Thanks, Kai.
Thanks, Kai.